Oh, man.
I like that. That's good.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Majesty.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. We acknowledge God here on today, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. We praise you and give you glory. Amen. To our brothers and sisters in the Lord, we thank God for you. We're going to be brief and thankful today as we go through the study today of God's Word. We read in our hearing from the first epistle of John, chapter 3, verses 18 through 24. I'm going to ask you to journey again with us to those inspired writings. Man, keep those seven verses in mind. We're just going to tack on two more as we move to the study of God's Word. Man.
Amen.
So we're going to add 16 and 17 to that. The Word of God reads, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?"
Well, sir.
Amen. You may be seated in God's presence. Father God, we come, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, we praise you, we honor you, God, on today. We ask now, God, as we study your word, that you open closed eyes, God. Break up the fallow ground, Lord. Allow us, Lord, to go forward in you. Speak to us, God, that we will grow thereby. Have your way, Lord, in this place and in our lives. We love you, we praise you, appreciate and adore you. And Jesus, in your name, the saints of God said amen.
Amen.
And amen. Amen. So just looking at the totality of those nine verses.
Uh-huh.
Man, we're just going to preach today by the anointing of God's Spirit, use as a subject, and talk about for our consideration God's clean heart checklist.
All right.
God's clean heart checklist. Now, man is born with an innate sense of the difference between right and wrong. It's part of our DNA makeup.
It's the
way God made us.
Yes, sir.
And so if we slip up and say or do something that we know is wrong, whether we know God or not, we are at least cognizant of the fact that we blew it.
All right.
And the only difference between saints and sinners is that one cares while the other doesn't.
Yeah.
So for Christians who really try hard to please God, there are times when we actually get frustrated with our own inadequacies.
Mm.
The word slips out of our mouth that we know is insensitive or hurtful, and right away a heaviness falls over our heart. Or we do something that we know God does not approve of, and at some point our Christian conscience kicks in and we ask ourselves, why did I do that? Why did I flirt with that girl in the office? Why did I stop off for drinks with the boys after work? Why did I lie on that application? Why did I break that promise? Why didn't I pay back that loan from my friend? Why did I cheat on my taxes? Why did I lose my temper? Why did I gossip about all the folks in the church?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't I pay my tithes? Why? Oh, I didn't mean to say that.
All right.
As Christians,
yes,
we are not exempt from Satan's attacks.
Uh-huh.
Right.
If we were, the Bible would have never told us in Hebrews 12 that we are easily beset by his attacks.
Yeah.
See, we want to do as the Bible says and lay aside every weight and sin so we can please God, but how do we do that? Mm-hmm. How can we get to that perfect state of utopian faith where our flesh and our spirit are a mirror image of Christ, and we then can live the love we profess and desire to emulate Christ? You do know that Satan will never give up his attack against you, don't
you? That's right.
That's why Hebrews 12 says that we better acquire some patience as we run this race.
Mm-hmm.
See, God knows this Christian life isn't easy. And it will never get easy no matter how long we live.
Amen.
There is never going to be a time of smooth sailing.
Right.
And when it comes to weathering sin's attacks, it's always going to be rough sea.
Yes, sir.
See, all of us will have to deal with the world, the flesh, and Satan until we die.
Yes. Yes, sir.
But rest assured that Satan is not going to say, well, now that he's 65 and retired, I guess I'll just leave him alone and give him a break. Don't ever expect that to happen. Satan has an incredible endurance record. And if you try to win the battle against him all by yourself, you will lose.
All right.
Now, I'm not trying to be discouraging. I'm just a realist. So if you want to live a clean life, it's not going to come easy. That's the bad news. But there is good news also.
Yes, sir.
We have a secret weapon, and that weapon is, of course, Jesus, our Christ.
Yes.
So when the going gets tough, and it will, we don't have to fall apart. I love what John says about this internal battle that goes on inside of us.
Yeah.
He says that when our heart condemns us, in other words, when our heart convicts us in the midst of wrongdoing,
we
don't have to fret.
Yes.
God can read a man's sincere, repentant heart because God is greater than our heart.
Yes.
God knows about our disappointment in ourselves even before we have a chance to express our sense of remorse.
Yes.
God is always looking for signs that we're trying to clean up our heart.
Yes, yes.
From the very moment we are washed in the blood of Jesus, God starts to look for evidence of our genuine conversion. And John says that no one knows a clean heart better than God.
Yes.
Now, John's first epistle is an affirmation of belief in Christ directed to the early Christian church. And tucked away in verses 18 through 24 of that third chapter of 1 John, we find God's checklist for a clean heart. So, item number one. A clean heart does more than talk the talk. It walks the walk. Verses 18 and 19. John says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. And in these two verses, the word love is an action verb.
Yes.
You see, John says that Jesus taught the disciples to put away lip service and to get busy. God is looking for Christians who will talk and walk. And that's the first item on his clean heart checklist.
Uh-huh.
But we know folks, all of us know folks who love lip service. See, it's so much easier than doing the actual work. It's easy to come to church every Sunday and sing and shout praises to God. Much easier than coming out on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. Or heaven forbid, you might have to show up on a Saturday. It's just much easier to come on Sunday than those other days to put some action behind that love we so freely professed on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
I almost wish that Matthew had not recorded Jesus saying, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Because some folks love to use that as their excuse for inaction.
Yes.
I don't want nobody to get mad at me because the Holy Spirit is talking to me too.
All right.
Item number two. A clean heart keeps God's commandments.
Amen.
Verses 22 and 23. Now, isn't it amazing that even though Those are the first things we learned in Sunday school. We still struggle to apply them in our lives. We like to paint their interpretation with a broad stroke and avoid the details that might impact how we live. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. But I can't make church meeting tonight because it's club night.
Mercy.
Thou shalt not kill, but I didn't plan to get pregnant. It's just not a good time to have a baby. Thou shalt not steal, but the store expects customers to at least taste the grapes to make sure they're sweet.
All right.
Thou shalt not commit adultery, but my wife is inattentive and always busy with the children, and I'm a man with needs. It's always something.
Yes, sir.
And it always seems that the Ten Commandments apply to somebody else, but not us.
Come on.
After all, we're human, and that old flesh and spirit excuse again comes up. But God is watching to see if our heart condemns us when we ignore his commandments. And if there's no condemnation by the heart, it means that we're not concerned about God.
Yeah.
And as our grandparents used to say, and I have a cousin that will still say it this way, we ain't studying God.
Yes, sir.
And God is the first to know when we've turned our back on him.
Amen.
Yes.
But don't get discouraged. If you're struggling with the ten, then God has a simple one that I like to call his starter set. This is the big one, the one that John says is a wraparound of all that God embodies. And it's in two parts. Look in verse 23. First, love the Lord thy God. Second, love one another. Sound familiar? Jesus said it this way, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Yeah. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Yes, sir.
You see, some people seem to struggle with the big ten because they never mastered the big one.
All right.
They can't get to the others because they haven't learned how to love.
Amen.
This is the basic tenet of Christianity. Love the Lord and love your neighbor. And if you really love the Lord, then it's easy to love your neighbor. Now, do you know what a litmus test is? In chemistry, a litmus test is used to determine the purity of a substance. And if the paper turns a certain color, then the substance is genuine. In medicine, a litmus test is used to affirm the health of a patient. In politics, a litmus test is used to determine if the candidate is truthful. Well, the golden rule is God's litmus test for genuine Christians.
Yes.
And I call it God's minimum requirement for certification. See, it's our job to take in everybody. We have to assume that they are sincere. We embrace their claim of salvation, and we trust that their faith is genuine.
Yeah.
God is the only one who can perform his litmus test to see if they're for real.
Yeah.
That's why it's on his clean heart checklist.
All right.
Item number three.
Yes, sir.
A clean heart displays the presence of the Holy Spirit. Verse 24. Now, some denominations have spent an inordinate amount of energy trying to establish the base criteria for Holy Spirit occupation. Some say that it happens at baptism. Some say that it happens over time. Others say it doesn't happen until you speak in tongues. God is the only one who sure enough knows if his spirit dwells in us.
Amen.
Or if we're just playing church.
All right.
Now, we may see outward evidence that a Christian is full of the Holy Ghost, but God validates that through the heart.
Yeah.
Now, speaking to a large audience once, the noted preacher Dwight L. Moody held up a glass and asked, how can I get air out of this glass? One man shouted, suck it out with a pump. Moody replied, well, that would create a vacuum and shatter the glass. So after several people had given their opinion, Moody smiled and he simply picked up the glass, picked up a pitcher of water and filled the glass. He said, there, all of the air is now removed. You see, victory in the Christian life, he said, is not accomplished by sucking out a sin here and there.
All right.
Victory is accomplished by being filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
And so first, we are saved by the blood of Christ. Second, we are sanctified by the blood of Christ. And finally, we are clean enough then for God's Spirit to take residence within us.
All right.
And at the moment of our baptism, our cleansed heart should be crying like a thirsty car at a gas pump. Fill her up. See, Satan will always be knocking on the door of our heart. He'll try to disrupt our peace of mind. He'll try to corrupt our honesty. He'll try to muddy our character, and he'll try to interfere with our life of holiness. But if the Holy Spirit is in us, Christ then will lock Satan out.
Yeah.
So have you got your clean heart checklist?
All right.
Number one, don't just talk the talk, walk the walk.
Yes.
Number two, keep God's commandments. And number three, be filled with God's Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You see, Satan would love to convince you that there is nothing that can cleanse you. Nothing that can deliver you, nothing that can save you, nothing that can wash you and give you a clean heart. But Satan is a liar.
Yes.
He wants you to think that your life is a rat race, but he's a liar. He wants you to think that your job is a pain, but he's a liar.
Yeah.
He wants you to think your home is a hellhole, but he's a liar. He wants you to think that your nights are miserable, but he's a liar. He wants you to think that your relationship is a mess, but he's a liar.
Yeah, well.
He wants you to think that your church is nothing more than a social club, but he's a liar.
Every time
he opens his mouth, he's lying.
Yes, sir.
I don't know why we treat him different than the other liars we encounter on the street. If somebody is lying and I know it, I don't listen.
Okay. Yes, right. Yes.
So why do we listen to Satan?
Yes, sir.
We are the body of Christ.
Yes.
Blood baptized believers in the Son of God.
Yeah.
And the only way to conquer Satan is to rely on God.
Mm-hmm.
The only way to defeat Satan is to surrender to God.
Yes.
The only way to overthrow Satan is to obey God. We'll never be able to do it by ourselves. It requires a power that's greater than us.
Yes.
It takes the mercy of the Father, the sacrifice of the Son, and the presence of the Holy Ghost. That's the only way this is going to happen. We've got to be grounded in Christ, shielded by Christ, anchored in Christ, possessed by Christ, committed to Christ, delivered by Christ, protected by Christ, faithful to Christ, strengthened by Christ, and established in Christ.
That's it. Come on, Pastor.
Then and only then.
Yes,
then and only then.
Will we pass God's clean heart test?
Yes, sir.
See, none of us are perfect.
Amen.
None of us have arrived.
Amen.
But I have to tell you. That God's clean heart test will get us to where he wants us to be.
Yes.
I just thank God for cleaning me up.
Yes, Lord.
I ain't perfect. Haven't got there. I'm still working toward that. But if God can clean me, then you have nothing to worry about.
Yes.
But you have to surrender to him. You have to give over to him.
Yeah.
You have to be real about this thing. We got to stop playing, church.
Come on, Pastor.
This is just life as it is. And our life in Christ has to be sincere.
Yeah.
Everywhere I go, I have to tell somebody about Jesus. Everything I do has to glorify the Lord. Every opportunity I get around the country to do presentations, we try to make it Bible study. Because that's what we are called to do, is to share the good news of Jesus. So how do you think you're going to do on God's clean heart checklist? Are there some things that need to be taken out and given over to the Lord? But there are some things that need to be removed so we can allow God to have His way in every situation and every aspect of our lives. This is your opportunity today to allow God to go down the checklist of your life. As we stand briefly.